Do you mind if I play something for you first here, John?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
W-O-W-O, the greatest air show, whoa, whoa, on Earth.
Does that bring back any memories?
No. It's been 100 years.
It's been 100 years. John Cigna, evening guy at WoWo. Now, what years were you there?
Oh, boy. I was there till 71, I think.
And you arrived when?
I was there almost 8 years.
Wow.
So, 8 minus 71.
And you did evenings that whole time?
Yes. I started, I think, at 7:30. I can't remember if I followed Don Chevalette or Bob Chase. I think it was Chevalette.
Now, do you remember how you got the job at WoWo? Do you have a story about that?
I was in Ashland, Ohio, and I think I sent a tape to Cal Bullwinkle, who was the program manager.
Mm-hmm. And he was known on the air as Cal Stewart, right?
Cal Stewart. But when I got there, he was program manager.
Uh-huh.
And he hired me, and I was off to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Do you remember what the whole station lineup was at that time? It was Seavers in the Morning, of course.
Yeah, but there was Jay Gould there, too.
Yeah.
With the Little Red Barn. I'm trying to think of who followed them. I know Bob Chase was there, and I know Don Chevalette was there.
Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. I think Doug Stevens was doing middays for part of the time you were
yes,
there.
Yes, you're right.
Jack Underwood was in there somewhere,
Jack,
right?
Yes, oh, what a memory you have.
Well, actually, Jack was there when I was there 20 years later.
Yes, I remember Jack Underwood.
What was it like on the 50,000-watt flamethrower at night?
Well, we got a call, or somebody taped part of the show from Sweden, believe it or not, and sent it to the station. So, you know, it went all over the country.
Yeah, in fact, I worked nights at WoWo for several years, and we would get them from Sweden, Norway, Finland. It was like a big hobby over there.
That's right.
In the middle of winter, people would drag out these long wires for antennas and then write down what they heard and send it into the radio station just wanting a postcard back. It was really amazing.
Great town, too. I loved Fort Wayne.
At that time, I've heard stories that sometimes artists would stop by the studio at night driving through the Midwest.
Oh, yeah. We had some artists, all right. I think one was Marilyn Chambers, but we won't go into that.
I was talking about musical acts. Do you remember any of those guys?
Oh, okay. I don't remember them. I do remember Marilyn Chambers.
Was there any real competition for WoWo while you were there? I know it may have been right after you left. WLIV really put a challenge up.
They started rocking, and they took some audience away. But while I was there, we just dominated everything.
The Aces basketball team started while you were there, right?
Right, yeah.
What was that like, or where did that come from?
I forget. We wanted to play the coaches from the various high schools. And I was the leading scorer, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, well, the reason I was, I'll tell you, is I was a cherry picker. I didn't want to run up and down the floor. So when the other team had the ball, they ran up the floor and I stayed back there. So when we got the ball, all he had to do was throw it to me, and I just laid up.
Did they have some ringers on the team at that time?
We had one of the leading scorers from Ball State, and Bob Pelkington.
Yeah, I think he played for probably most of the life of the Aces.
Yeah, he was 6'8", and yeah, we had two ringers.
Now, is it true, John, that you were the first person to put Bodie the janitor on the air?
Yeah, I remember Bodie. I guess I was the first. I don't know. I would think so.
I know that Larry Kenny put him on occasionally, and Ron Gregory was well known for doing it, but
I think Bodie stumbled into the studio once when I put him on. It was nothing planned. It just happened. He seemed nervous, you know, and you know me, I jerked his chain.
Speaking of jerking chains, I'm told that you had a habit of trying to break up newscasters at the end of a newscast.
Well, even during, you know, I remember Jim Slade was in there, and I had some gal come in and rub his leg while he was doing the newscast.
And did he break up, or did he keep going?
Slade, you know, he didn't know how to smile. He just kept going. He looked down and kept going.
Did you ever get in trouble for management for doing those kinds of things?
I got trouble every day. I don't remember what it was. You know? Yeah, Cal Bullwinkle used to jump all over me.
Can you remember any other stories of gags you pulled on newscasters?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, once I was smoking at the time, and I lit one of his papers while he was reading it.
I understand that you had an ongoing thing with Don Chevalette when you changed air shifts, that you two would basically trade corny jokes. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's what we did. I don't know how corny they were. Some were terrible, with a lot of innuendos and stuff. But yes, as a matter of fact, that went on when I got to Pittsburgh. They weren't doing that when they changed shifts, and I started doing that in Pittsburgh. It was a good bit.
Can you think of anything to add, John?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I first started at WoWo, they put me up in a cherry picker, and I needed 1,190 matchbook covers to get me down. Obviously, I was there most of the day, but boy, that cherry picker, you know, a small AR, just a little bucket. I'm afraid of heights. And they put me over the top of the building. I mean, it was past the top of the building. And man, I'll tell you what, you know, the wind was coming and that was blowing back and forth. And oh, man.
Now, were you broadcasting from up there?
Yes. You know, we would do cut-ins from up there.
Right.
I had nicotine stains on my underwear.
Was this like your first day on the air?
Yeah, so that was the first day. Oh, man.
What was the significance of matchbook covers?
Oh, it was Fire Prevention Week. So we needed 1,190 matchbook covers. Some people would come by, and they had a big bucket for them. They would come by, take out their matchbook covers, and throw them on the ground instead of in the bucket to jerk my chain.
You had several unusual things on your show, I think. Something called the Cigna Six-Pack.
Yeah, well, you see, in Indiana, you couldn't buy beer on Sunday. So I decided to have my own six-pack. I would open up six cans, you know, one after the other, like a six-pack, and then play six in a row. And we called it the Cigna Six-Pack.
Can you think of anything else that you'd like to talk about?
No, that's about it. I just loved Fort Wayne. It was a great town. I remember a lot of the places when we'd get off the air and go visit, like the gay 90s, and don't, you know, that was just the name of the place. Jerry Ankenbrook was the owner, and Chevalette took me around to the various bars where there might have been entertainment, stuff like that.
People who are only fans of WoWo may not know this, but you later went on to some pretty legendary status in Pittsburgh at KDKA. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I was here 28 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
I did the night show for 10, and then the top guy, Jack Bogut, he moved over to a smaller station because they were going to give him a TV show, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked me to take over the morning show, and I said, what are you, crazy? And they said, no, we're not crazy. We want you to do it. And it worked out, and we thought we were going to go in a dumper ratings-wise, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first year we only lost about 5 points. So, and then we increased that and became number one, and I was in the morning for 18 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And we had some great times. We had some weird people coming in as guests.
Any other memories of WoWo that stand out? You were there an awfully long time, really.
Yeah, I just enjoyed WoWo. I really did. Carl Vandegrift was the general manager. Cal Bullwinkle was the program manager. Sam DeVincent, and the guys I worked with on the air. Jim Slade.
Yeah, he was a newsman, right?
And went to, I think, Washington.
I think he also did some of the space program reporting for ABC.
Yes. As a matter of fact, he was really into space.
So, taking over the morning show at KDKA, did that give you some kind of appreciation of Bob Seaver's career and his longevity?
Well, yeah, getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, the longevity was there. We had so many good people to work with. That was the thing. You know, the news people, the support people. It was great. It really was.
Is there anything that you can think of that you think was like the key to WoWo being such a successful radio station?
Well, 50,000 watts, and I think they have the talent. I really do. I think I don't think anybody in Fort Wayne could match Seavers and Jay Gould and Don Chevalette and Bob Chase and all of that. I just think we had the talented people. Everybody had their own thing going, and the programming was there. You know, we did the music and all the other stuff.
Did you view other big 50,000-watt stations like WLS or CKLW as competition at that time or not?
No, no, we didn't. Probably we heard about WLS, but, I mean, we just heard about it. We didn't think it was competition.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, John Cigna, it's been a pleasure talking to you here on the history of WoWo.com.
All right, Randy.
All right.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.